It's stage 14 of the Tour de France and this green jersey battle. It has me nerves ruined. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this. How do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Welcome to the Roadman Podcast, you beautiful roadmen. It's Saturday, so that means my typical, inverted commas, work for home wasn't as easy today because it in fact is group ride day. Group ride day in Roadman cycling land. We met this morning, 9:30. If anyone wants to join our group ride, you're more than welcome. The group ride, it's in Dublin based. So if you're listening to this on the far side of the pond, not really much point in me giving you details of it. So if you do want to join the group ride, just slide on into those Instagram DMs. I'm loving the way there's a few of the World Tour lads starting to slide into the DMs and just give me the inside scoop, which is brilliant. Much appreciated. I was out on the group ride today and I was talking to a buddy on the group ride and we were talking about the evolution of the podcast, and he said he recently went back and listened to an old version of the podcast and he said he just couldn't believe the difference in sound quality, in production quality. And this is a segue to Patreon, but it's also a genuine heartfelt thanks to you guys because you guys are supporting the podcast through Patreon, and everything we make on the podcast through Patreon is getting pumped back into the podcast to up the sound quality, to up the production quality. So it's slowly improved, but every week we're moving that needle. If you'd like to contribute and help us to continue to move that needle, patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. That's the place you do it. At times I forget this isn't video. When I say forward slash, I'm making this sort of slashy thing with my hand, but you can't really see it, so maybe I'll just stop doing that. Just seems futile. Okay, that's the bit of business done. That's our little plug for how we keep the show rolling, how we keep the lights on done. Let's dive into today's stage. Actually, before we do dive into today's stage, if we're on video at the moment, you would see that my eyeballs are no longer round, they're square. I've been working my little fingers to the bone, building a new site. It's roadmancycling.com. This is not really a plug, it's just a curiosity thing for you to go and check it out. The coaching company was A1 Coaching, and the podcast was Roadman Cycling, and it just didn't really make that much sense, A1 Coaching, Roadman Cycling. It was just confusing, and I got so many DMs from listeners going, I'm looking for the Roadman Coaching, and I can't find it. So rebranded the A1 website as roadmancycling.com. It's pretty cool. There's some cool graphics on there, and there's loads of class little coaching offers. There's even a cool 14-day challenge, which is definitely worth checking out for the princely sum of €2, because we'll talk about that fully, what it is, another day. But it just, I want to get people moving, especially during the tour, when we have all this excitement, when we have all this, you know, pent-up motivation, and especially after the lockdown. Today, they had a graphic on Eurosport and they talked about the distribution of workload, and Bora completed 79% of the workload today. I wasn't great at maths. I was a past maths man myself, but 79 is a big number. Sagan is a difficult taskmaster. He reminds me almost a slaver back in the day. He works the lads like horses. The reason he worked the lads so hard today was he wanted to drop Bennett before the intermediate sprint, and he did. He took it up on the first climb, and he dropped young Sam Bennett. Bennett subsequently got back on. Sagan sent the troops to work again on the next climb, and he distanced Bennett for good. They had a little period of Dyson where Sagan's boys were on the front of Sagan and Co. I'm going to say and Co because it makes people sound very distinguished. Sagan and Co were on the front of one group, and we had Bennett and Co on the front of a chase group trying to get back in. But eventually the Sagan and Co group won out, and Bennett, you know, rolled in real slow to the finish, and I think he lost 20 minutes or something on the day. For those kind of new to Tour de France, it actually doesn't matter how much time Bennett loses. The contest for the green jersey is a points-based classification. So it's the green jersey, or some people refer to it as the sprint jersey. And the way you accumulate points is sprints throughout the day. There's intermediate sprints scattered through stages, and you get points for crossing the finish line. In, you know, obviously more points the higher up the finish, the higher your finishing placing. First gets more points than second, which gets more points than third, etc., etc. So you accumulate points for the entire 3 weeks, and then the rider with the most points at the end wins the green jersey. and it's a separate contest to the yellow jersey, and it's playing out to be almost as exciting. And that's why when you're watching the race, there's all these races within race, because we've the climbers classification, we've the sprint classification, we've the GC, we've the young rider classification, and then we have a playing out for stage wins, which are very prestigious in their own right. So there's always something to watch on the Tour de France, and it's very rare. I know we'd won shutdown day this year, which the boys wanted an easy day, and it just, they rolled it. But every day you have this combination of these tactics, and it was fascinating to watch it play out today for the green jersey initially. And once Sagan had burnt up all his men, I think he had Lenny Kamna with him towards the end, but you know, in the last couple of kilometers when he really needed him, he burnt up everyone. But the race played out with an amazing piece of teamwork. Again, it's not the first time we've said this from Sunweb. An amazing piece of teamwork, because they don't have an interest in the general classification or the green jersey. They're purely about stages. So what Sunweb started doing, it's classic shake and bake stuff. The group was much reduced in the peloton, so everyone didn't have 3-4 teammates around them like we're used to. Leaders were left quite exposed. So we had Sunweb firstly sending Thijs Benoot up. There was a climb with about 11 kilometers to go. It was a Cat 4 climb. It was 1.4 kilometers long. Sticky enough at times, but we had Thijs Benoot attacking there. Lenny Kamna from Sagan and Co. has to cover this. And massive commitment from him, but that's the last debt of Sagan's troops. When he has to cover Thijs Benoot, now Sagan's exposed. Now we have a Cat 4 climb with about 5 kilometers to go, and that's 1.4 kilometers long. And again, we're starting to see attacks. We're starting to see Hershey attacking this time out. So we Benoot the first time, we'd Hershey the next time. And a couple of other non-Sunweb riders got out as well, like De Gendt and Alaphilippe. But what this means again is Sagan is now forced to close stuff on his own. So he's no teammates to do the work for him anymore, so he has to close it on his own. And the last attack, when it came, was from Anderson from Sunweb. He attacked with about 2 kilometers to go. Sagan has no teammates left. He's so close to the finish line, he's unwilling to do all this work himself, because it'll amount to naught if he gets to the finish line after doing the work. He's not going to have a sprint anyway. He elects to stop working. There's a hesitation in the bunch. People look around thinking, okay, who has two teammates here? Who's an interest in sprinting? Cofidis took it up in the end for Consone, but it wasn't enough, and they weren't organized enough, and they didn't get organized fast enough. And I think when you're talking about 2 kilometers to go, the amount of time it takes a team to communicate a message and get organized, that's vital. In the end, we had Anderson staying away for an amazing teamwork victory. So we'd Benoot, Hershey, and then Anderson, the third attack, third time lucky for the team. It's their second stage win of the race, and no one would begrudge it. It was great to watch this play out, this shake, bake, and bake again. Anderson for the win. The bunch sprint happened behind Mezgetz from Mitchelton Scott. Consone was third. Importantly, Sagan was fourth. He lost a little bit of legs because he had to close them gaps on the way in. But Sagan fourth means he got 19 points when you tally his intermediate points again. He's after chopping a good 25 points or so out of Bennett's lead. So it's going to be super interesting. Stage 19, I had a look ahead. Stage 19 is very, very crucial for this green jersey contest. We're going to keep watching it play out. Bennett talked about, let me get this Sam Bennett quote for you, talking about yesterday. He said, yesterday was a hard, hard day. I was much better today than yesterday, sensation-wise. Yesterday I was dead. This morning I was a new man. In the intermediate sprint, I saw what Border were doing. They were trying to harm me, so I let them go. But later on, I missed, well, I'm not sure what that means. I missed 1 kilometer on a long climb, and that's where I lost my chance. It didn't take a lot out of me. I felt well after it. Of course, I want to thank all my teammates for the excellent job they did today. As always, I'm in better shape than yesterday. I was afraid not to come back from yesterday's effort, because when you go too deep on a Tour de France stage, you normally end up paying for it. But today, I'm a new man. I hope tomorrow is an easier day. Bennett, you legend. Keep hanging in there. Completely impartial piece of podcasting from me. Look, as an Irishman, we all want Bennett to pull this off. But Sagan, you know, as big people say, Sagan's ego is as much cash. Sagan reportedly making $5 million a year from his contract alone with Bora, the highest paid bike rider in the world. That's not to mention his endorsements. for a single lad living in Monaco, there's a lot of temptation around, and Sagan is, you know, reputed to live the good life at times. And that's the thing with this whole crazy season we're having. You just don't know how people are going to come out of lockdown. Sagan does look to be getting better and better and better. But for all that temptation around Sagan and those stories around his personal life and, you know, parties on yachts, he's putting in the grind. He's not giving this green jersey away without a battle. It's his green jersey, and he's going to fight this all the way. And honestly, we could see this one playing out on the Champs-Élysées if we even get to Paris. Now there's talk about, you know, this R rate around Paris and potentially not bringing the race there. But it looks like mainly speculation at the moment. As I got a number of DMs, speaking of wild speculation, saying, are you worried about the two Slovenians? In terms of the implication being, are you worried there might be a positive doping scandal in the works? Like, the two lads have shown unbelievably consistent. It's not like they've come out of nowhere. It's not like, you know, they were getting dropped last year and now they've all of a sudden come out of nowhere. Like, have a think back to Pogačar's Vuelta last year. He was phenomenal. This is quite a natural evolution, I see it. And I hate those stories because they're just so lazy. Anyway, tomorrow we're going for a big one. We're going stage 15 from Lyon to Grand Colombier. We have the horse category Grand Colombier to finish tomorrow's stage. It is 17.4 kilometers long. It's an epically hard climb. I've ridden this one myself in the past, and it's a super, super difficult climb. GC's going to pop. Are we going to see Pogačar make that step? Look, it's, I don't even know. Bernal, if he's going to make a move, he needs to come back into the GC tomorrow. He lost 30 seconds yesterday. He needs to make that move now towards clawing a little bit of time back. It's going to be epic TV. At a minimum, I'm going to catch the last hour live, and I'm going to try and get the highlights of earlier in the stage. But yeah, it's one of those ones you could fully justify sitting on the couch and watching tomorrow all day on the couch, because it's going to be epic. Guys, thanks for listening to another Roadman podcast. Don't forget, check out roadmancycling.com. I'm going to leave the link in the bio. Do we call it bio? Do we call it description? I don't know. Also, don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. Buy me the price of a coffee, buy me the price of a beer, tip the cap, as the French would say, chapeau for the work during the Tour de France. Guys, thanks for listening. Ride safe out there. I'm going to be back tomorrow for another Roadman podcast.